Welcome to church. Tonight I'm going to continue in the book of Hebrews. We started last week, and prayerfully we're going to take up part the entire book in the next several weeks. This is just background. If you were not here last week, I encourage you to go to our website, bkchurch.com, and the message is on there, the recorded message from last week. But very quickly, I want to give us a quick overview of some of the points that I hit last week. And the book of Hebrews, the general, title, basically, or theme, is for us to keep our eyes on Jesus, and that in this race that you and I are on, there's no turning back. It was written and addressed to the Jewish Christians of Palestine, especially those living in Jerusalem at the time, who were struggling in their faith. And I didn't make this point last week, but I don't know if you've noticed, if you've read the entire book, there's no mention of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And so many scholars believe that when this book was written, the temple was still standing, and it had not been destroyed yet by Titus in 70 AD. But that's just background. The author of the book is unknown. And like I shared last week, the first 10 chapters basically talk about doctrine. And then the last three chapters give us some practicals about following Jesus. This is basically the breakdown of Hebrews. Chapters 1-6 talk about a superior person in the person of Jesus Christ. Chapters 7-10 talk about a superior priesthood in the order of Melchizedek. And chapters 11-13 talks about a superior faith. There are several key words in the book of Hebrews: sacrifice, suffering, and courage, angels, faith. Therefore, let us is a key phrase in the book that you're going to see many times, and also the phrase, see to it. This is all background. We talked about all this stuff last week. There are three key verses. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2-3, talking about all of us fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The next key verse is in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And the final key verse is also in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that talk about without faith, it is impossible to please God. Chapter 1 basically talked about how Christianity surpasses Judaism because it is based on a better covenant, a better sanctuary, and it is based on better promises. And in chapter 1, we saw last week that Jesus is superior to the prophets, to the angels, and to Moses. And so tonight, we're going to get into chapter 2, titled, Don't Drift Away. Don't Drift Away. Please open up in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely, it is not to angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I will stop there. Tonight, we look at this very critical admonition not to drift away. There are actually five admonitions in Hebrews. This is the first one. And I'll show you the remaining four in a second. All five encourage us to pay attention and to heed God's word. Brothers and sisters, it talks about here, it says we need to pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Notice, it doesn't say we need to pay attention to what we've read. Because again, when this was written, this second half of what you and I call the Bible did not exist. And so Christians, our brothers and sisters in the first century church, would literally go to house church. They met in house church back in the first century church. They didn't have church buildings. That did not come until centuries later. They didn't have halls that they met in. They met in each other's homes. House church, so to speak. They met in small groups, like in a small Bible talk. And so you had to go to church to hear the message being preached. And it says we need to pay careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Drifting from God is a process. It happens very, very slowly. I don't believe people just wake up one evening or one day and decide, you know what, I'm not going to follow God anymore. It doesn't work that way. But unfortunately, what happens is when we drift away from God and we don't even realize it. You know, many of us, you know, we love fishing and we love going to the beach and, you know, you go to the water's edge. And when you go there, one thing you will always find at every dock is tons of boats. And you will notice that each boat is either tied to the docks or is anchored to the bottom of the water. There's a huge reason for that. Because if you don't tie down your boat, if you don't anchor your boat, all it takes is 24 hours because of the tide and the water constantly moving and the waves. If you come back in 24 hours without anchoring down your boat is not going to be where you left it. And that's the imagery here, that you and I need to pay attention to the scriptures so that we don't drift away. So that we don't drift away. You see, we got to fill up our minds with God's word, and you will have no room for Satan's lies. Here are the five admonitions that we find in Hebrews. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it tells us that drifting from the word is something that can happen to us. In other words, where you and I do not neglect the word. Tonight, we're talking about the first admonition that we find in Hebrews. That we're not to drift from the word. We're not to neglect the word. We're going to find the second admonition in chapter 3, from verse 7 to chapter 4, verse 13, where you and I are called not to doubt the word. In other words, where we don't have a hard heart. In chapter 5, from verse 11 to chapter 6, verse 20, we're going to see the third admonition, that we cannot be dull to the word, where we have this sluggish mindset. This sluggish mindset towards the word of God. We'll see that in chapter 5 in a few weeks. And then we're going to find the next admonition in Hebrews chapter 10. Warning us not to despise the word, where we willfully just not pay attention to it, okay? Where we are not despising the word. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 12, from verses 14 to 29, I hope you can take a picture of this. You and I are called not to defy the word, where we refuse to hear, okay? Each of these verses tells us that the spiritual consequences of us not heeding God's word is very, very serious. The message in all of them is the same, that you and I need to pay attention to the word of God. We need to pay constant attention to what God is telling us. Like I just said, drifting is a process. When you and I neglect the word of God, it will always lead to you and I drifting gradually. Then after that, we start doubting the word. Romans 10, 17 talks about that. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, when we doubt the word of God, our hearts start to get hard. Again, we're going to talk about that some more in a few weeks. You see, when someone is not doing well spiritually, and I almost always ask, how is your walk with the Lord? Brother, how often are you reading your Bible? What are you learning in your personal Bible study? And it never ceases to amaze me, almost without fail, the response is always, you know what? Yeah, I haven't read my Bible in several weeks. You know, I've not looked at it in 2 weeks or whatever it is. It's always the same. Because when you and I are not in the word, guess what? We start drifting. I know, you know, sometimes we may feel, well, Richard, are you saying I need to read my Bible every day? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Oh, aren't you being legalistic? No. Because if you and I are not in the word, we're going to start drifting. Drifting, brothers and sisters, again, it's a process. It happens slowly. And that's why God keeps encouraging us to always stay in the word. When we refuse, he's gonna discipline us. We're going to get to that in chapter 12, you know, in several weeks from now. Because, brothers and sisters, God is not going to allow us to become spoiled brats. He's not going to allow us to become spoiled children. And he will discipline us. And he will sometimes discipline us when you and I are drifting from him. He says here that, you know, we need to listen to this message because we've received such a great salvation It tells us that, you know what, if the message that was spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received is just punishment, it says, how are we going to escape such a great salvation? Because this salvation was confirmed to us by God had to come into this world in the form of a person, in the form of a human, to tell us about it. And then he went on to die on the cross for us. So that one day, you and I may get a chance to spend eternity with God. The price that was paid for our salvation is too great for you and I to start drifting from God's word. We need to be very, very careful. You see, when we start neglecting God's word, when we're not reading every day, and brothers and sisters, because we live in the 21st century, you and I have no excuse. We have none whatsoever. Like I just said, in the first century church, if you missed church, you missed it. They didn't have Google. They didn't have Zoom. They had no recording devices. You had to be there physically to hear the message and to take it to heart. They didn't have any pen and paper. But today we do. We have God's word. A lot of us, we have the Bible on our phones. We have notebooks. We can take notes. And so I'm asking us tonight, are you drifting? Have you been drifting? I know that we've been, you know, because of the lockdown, a lot of us now work from home, and we've not been able to meet as a church for months. And we don't know where we're going to meet again in person as a group. Because as long as this pandemic keeps taking hundreds and thousands of people out every day, we got to stay where we are. But my concern is, yes, we're having to worship God from home. And yes, you know, a lot of you are listening to me tonight. How are you doing? How is your personal Bible study going? How is it going for you at home, between you and your God? Brothers and sisters, we need to pay careful attention to these admonitions. You and I cannot neglect the word. If not, we're going to drift away. We got to pay attention to this warning. It's a very serious warning. You know, there are warning signs around us all the time. And here are two warning signs. The one on the left says, danger, high voltage, keep out. You know, electricity, being zapped by electricity is not fun. There's a reason why this warning is up here. About a year and a half ago, I shared this with some of the brothers and sisters here in Brooklyn when we were being interviewed for this position. I was electrocuted for about 40 seconds on a trip back to Nigeria about a year and a half ago. 240 volts. For 40 seconds, I was screaming for my life. If Sarah had not come in to rescue me, we are not having this conversation. God literally saved me. That I even know what to tell my wife to do in that process as I was screaming, and as I was screaming, counting the seconds, because blood circulates in your body about every 1 minute. I was just about to say to her, I love you. I'll see you on the other side. And I looked down. I was taking a shower when this happened. And I realized the water was still flowing. And I used my right elbow to shut the faucet off. And that's when she was able to grab a towel and literally open up my hands and lift off the cord for the shower head out of my hand. And I just kept on going, not today, Satan. Not today, devil. Not today, Satan. We got into the bedroom, I towered myself off, and we prayed, and I just sat there wondering, how did I survive that? I have no question in my mind that God saved me, and I'm still here because of it. But these warnings exist. But the problem is, a lot of times we don't pay attention. The warning on the right-hand side is the warning that, hey, this area that you're about to go in, there's high radiation. You better pay attention. That there's radiation leakage. But you see, the funny thing about when people don't heed the sign on the right, by the time you find out, now you have cancer and it's too late. And God is telling us, you know what? We need to pay attention so that we don't drift away. Brothers and sisters, eternity is at stake here. That's what the Hebrew writer is telling us. We're very familiar with this because this is something that we're going through right now in our world. COVID-19, and yet a lot of people are not paying attention. We've lost over 400,000 people. Maybe some of you saw the memorial last night when at that time it was still President-elect Biden and Kamala Harris. They went to the reflection pool and the Washington Mall and they lit all those lights. Brothers and sisters, I just started to cry. And then it dawned on me, wow, we've not had a chance to grieve and mourn all the people that have passed the whole of last year. But you see, people are still not paying attention. Again, I want to say thank you to us. I know a lot of you have been praying for me. My sister was laid to rest yesterday, and it was 4 o'clock our time in the morning. So we got up in the middle of the night. You know, we participated. We were able to watch it on Zoom. And then I got a few hours sleep, and then I got up, and I said, I got to go out on a prayer walk. And I went out, you know, I had my mask on. These days, we wear two, my wife and I, when we go out. And I was just praying. And as I was walking, I saw this young man just go by me. And he had his mask in his hand. He wasn't even wearing it. I just started to cry. Because I realized, you know what? There's still people out here who don't believe that this stuff is real. Who are not heeding the warning. And I'm thinking, you know what? I just laid my sister to rest. What does it have to take for people to realize that, you know what, this stuff is real? Some of us have lost our loved ones to COVID-19. And my heart goes out to you. It's hard. It's tough. And God is saying to us, we need to pay attention to his word where you and I are in it so that we don't drift away. It suddenly dawned on me the other day. I said, you know, what if we could see this virus? What if, yes, you're wearing a mask and you step out your front door and you're going to work or you're going to the grocery store or something? What if you and I could actually see this virus? I don't think you're just going to walk right into it. You're going to be doing this. You're going to see the virus coming up this way. You're going to cross the road. That's what you and I would do. And God is warning us not to drift, to pay attention, not to neglect his word. And so again, I'm asking you, how are you doing? Have you been neglecting God's word over these last few weeks or even months? Again, I don't know when we're going to come together as a church. That's one of the things I miss. And I know you also miss when we're able to be together and we're able to sing together. We're able to have fellowship together. You know, the preacher is up there, you know, preaching and, you know, you come in with your Bible and you got your notebook and you're taking notes. I want to be very honest with us. I'm very concerned about some of us. Yes, right now you're dialed in and right now we have 152 people online by participating via Zoom. But you know what? If you go and look at how many people have their cameras on, they're only very few. I'm wondering what you're doing. And why you're not turning your video on? Are you taking notes? Are you writing stuff down? Or are you just chilling? You know, are you laid down in bed and just listening? You got to write this stuff down. You know, I read somewhere many, many years ago, decades ago, that if you write things down, you remember it twice as much. I don't know about you. I'm not that smart. Okay, I got to write it down. I don't have a photographic memory. I just don't. And so I got to write it down. Are you taking notes when the word is being preached? When you read your Bible on your own, one-on-one, you know, every day, when you're having your own quiet time, are you taking notes? Are you writing this stuff down? Are you marking up your Bible? Because I promise you, this pandemic too will pass. One day, we're going to get back to church where we're able to meet again as an assembly. And you're not just going to be able to sit down there and lie on your bed. It's not happening. Okay? So you need to start repenting now. You need to start treating yourself and start conducting yourself as if, you know what, I'm going to church. My wife, Sarah, every Sunday, she gets dressed up. I mean, I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. She gets dressed up as if she's walking out the door and we're going to some church building to worship God. Every Sunday. You know what? When we come back, she's not going to have a problem adjusting. Now, obviously, when we come back together, we're going to have a time, time to adjust to, you know, I got to get to church service. Now, these days, you turn on your computer and church is right there. Brothers and sisters, let's not fall into bad habits. Let's start preparing ourselves to when we get to be together again as a church. If you want to deepen your relationship with God, you got to spend time with him. It's not rocket science. I want to encourage those of us that are parents to look up these passages that talk about raising children. They do come with a manual, you know. It is God who gave us these kids. And in his word, he's shown us how to raise them. And we have other examples in the church of people that have raised their kids. And so we have a lot to learn from other people. But first of all, we have a lot to learn about God. I want to encourage all the fathers that are listening to me tonight to look up all these passages and others that talk about children. One thing I find fascinating when the Bible talks about children, they're all directed to fathers. You know, those of us that are single parents, whether single moms, I know we have a few single dads, my hearts go out to you. It's not an easy job trying to raise kids by yourself. But again, we're a family, we're a community, we're a village. This is our village. We gotta help each other do this together. It's an exciting thing being a dad. And yes, you know, it's a 14 to 22 year process in trying to help them fall in love with God, but you gotta put it in. You gotta put in the time and the effort to make sure that we're teaching our kids about God. And that's why I'm so thankful for Darren Thomas and all the brothers and sisters and a lot of you families that every week you're doing the videos, you know, you're doing the Kids Kingdom lesson every week. You know, our hearts go out to you. Thank you. Because it takes a village to raise a child. And so I want to encourage us, those of us that are fathers and mothers, to look up all these passages and to study them out. There is no reason why we can't be having great Bible study at every moment of our lives. I need to keep this thing moving. Here are some topics that we can study out. The grace of God. Study out false prophets, worldliness, anger, patience, self-control, holiness, attitude towards authority, the power of God, the heart, our motives, enduring trials and hardships. There is so much to study out in the Bible. You know, people often ask me, you know, have you read all these books? Yes, I have. Yeah, some of them are reference books. And we got some in the living room. And guess what? We've got a whole lot more in storage. I have a little storage unit up there. There's a closet over here. And we got more books up there. I mean, my wife and I, we read a lot. Because there is so much to learn from this book. Our eternity is at stake. We can't take this thing lightly. There's so much to study out in the scriptures. Again, another thing you can do is study out characters in the Bible. In the Old Testament, people like Noah and Abraham and Moses and Job, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, the list goes on. There is so much. In the New Testament, you can study out the character of Peter. Maureen spoke to us about Peter last Sunday. I hope you found that message very encouraging. Yes. Barnabas, we can study out Paul, we can study out Timothy, we can study out Priscilla and Aquila. There's so many people that you and I can get into the Bible and study out. very, very important. How about reading the entire New Testament? Again, I want to encourage us, if you've never done this as a Christian, go ahead and read the entire New Testament. Start in Matthew. When you finish Matthew, read the book of Acts. When you finish the book of Acts, come back and read Mark. And then go read Romans. Then come back and read Luke. And just go on like that until you're done. We can go into the Old Testament and read Exodus, Joshua, Esther. These are just suggestions. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Romans, Ephesians, Philippians in the New Testament. The point I'm making, brothers and sisters, there is no reason why any of us should ever drift. There is so much in this book. It is this book that brought us into the kingdom of God. And guess what? It's this book that's going to keep us in it. We will drift if we do not stay in the word of God. We will drift from God when we are no longer in the world. And that's why it says you and I cannot, should not neglect it. I love this. I saw this a while back. This was by A.W. Tozer. He says, listen to no man who has not listened to God. Listen to no man who has not listened to God. Very quickly, let me talk about the rest of Hebrews chapter 2. It talks about what Christ's humanity did for us. In verses 5 to 9, how he regained man's lost dominion. Jesus came to restore dominion made over creation. We're talking before the fall, before Genesis chapter 3. That's what Jesus came to do. And he's quoting Psalm 8, verses 4 to 6. I want to encourage you, when you're reading Hebrews and it quotes a passage in the Old Testament, all you need to do is look at that little letter at the end of that area, that passage, at the bottom of your Bible, and it gives you the reference right there. Hold your place, go back and read that reference, because these references are in the New Testament for a reason. And that's what he's doing here, talking about how Jesus has regained the dominion that man lost back in the Garden of Eden. Christ is not only the last Adam, but he's the pioneer of our salvation. Christ gave up his glory to become man. You know, there's a program I like to watch. I haven't watched it in a while. It's on television. It's now on cable. It's called Undercover Boss, where the CEO of a company, you know, puts on a disguise and goes to visit the company in different cities, and the people that interacting with in the company don't know he's the CEO. They don't know he's the boss or even the owner. It's always amazing. At the end of it, then he reveals himself. You see, we are members of God's family. Christ took on human form to tell us about God. And then he died for us on the cross. And then he resurrected. All to lead us back to glory to God one day. Jesus came to save sinners, not angels. He became human and took on flesh. You see, Jesus can relate to us. The Bible says, because he suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who have been tempted. If anything, this passage, one of these passages tells us that he was made perfect through suffering. And as a result, he was able to bring many sons to glory. He was able to disarm Satan and deliver us from death. And then he goes on and he calls him in verse 17, just for this reason. He had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. It's only in Hebrews that you're going to find this designation talking about Jesus. That is our high priest. and a sympathetic high priest at that. You see, God can relate to us. He was human and he experienced every temptation you and I go through, yet was without sin. As high priest, he's able to continue to offer us grace so that we don't have to keep sinning. See, when we sin, he's able to offer us forgiveness when we confess it and we repent of it, and every time we ask for it. He's a sympathetic high priest. Again, we're going to look at this some more when we get to those chapters in a few weeks, where the high priest in the Old Testament would go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. That was the only day he could go in there, and he would offer sins not only for himself, but for the entire nation. And tradition has it that they would tie a rope around his ankle, because once he went inside into the Holy of Holies, that is that section where the Ark of the Covenant was, and it was separated by a curtain. And then you had the inner court, where you had the table with the lampstands and the table with the showbread. But the Holy of Holies, the high priest could only go through only once a year. And so they would tie a rope around his ankle, because if for whatever reason the man didn't come out, if you went in there, God would strike you dead. And if he didn't come out at the appropriate time, they would literally pull him. They would drag him out, because you couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. We're going to see that in a few more chapters. And that's why, when you think about it, the Bible tells us that when Jesus gave up his breath, when he died on the cross, separated the inner room from the Holy of Holies in the temple, was cut, was ripped from top to bottom, signifying that you and I can come to, we now can go to God directly. We can now approach the throne of God directly because of Jesus being our high priest and dying for us once and for all. Brothers and sisters, there is so much in here. And I encourage you to go back into Hebrews, go back and listen to this lesson, and continue to learn from it, because there is just so much that I cannot really take apart everything that it's talking about in 30 or 35 minutes of trying to teach this. It's not possible. And so again, the overarching theme in the book of Hebrews is that you and I need to keep our eyes on Jesus, that there is no turning back. Eternity is going to be worth it. We need to hang in there. Yes, sometimes life is tough, but going back into the world is not an option. I hope this lesson has been helpful, and I encourage us to continue to read ahead, and we will continue to take this book apart, and then we're going to be done one of these days. God bless you all. Thank you so much for listening.